A Thought for Your Pennies is hosted by Shauna and Squeaky and explores ways to save money and tips to avoid scams, all while they share their own stories along the way. Get in touch by calling 970-425-3060 or emailing penniespod@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, a show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, this is Squeaky, and I can do all the things you can do with a shake weight without a shake weight.
Wow, Squeaky, so talented. Well, this segment, we're going to share some stories about things that you have seen on TV and buy, because I grew up in a household where my mother just loved all the as you've seen on TV stuff.
Okay. You're still fired up because we were talking just before we hit the record button and you were like, my mom did this, my mom did that. And it's like, whoa. So you're bringing it back in for us.
Yeah. Okay. So
something about a call center, something about
No. So first
weights.
I'm going to go over my mother, which is like, I guess, you know, 30% of this podcast now. But my mom, she loved As Seen on TV. She loved buying that stuff off of TV. She believed everything that they said. We would go through Walgreens, and Walgreens has like a section dedicated to As You've Seen on TV items. And as kids, we believed with her too, but it became so disappointing. The first memorable one was the clapper. Do you remember the clapper?
Yeah, like there's this thing where you'd plug it in next to the outlet and it would listen for two pop noises so you could clap, clap and turn lights on and off and stuff, right? That one?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But like the ad, it was like clap on, clap off,
yeah, exactly.
The clapper, right? That thing? Okay. Yeah,
exactly. If you had an amazing jingle, my mom bought it. So she...
So lots of hot dogs.
She loves Oscar Mayer Wiener song. Like, kids get sung lullabies, I got sung TV jingles as a kid.
This is some Demolition Man nonsense here. Okay.
So the clapper didn't really work. The lights would turn off at any random noise, and then you would be clapping, and it would not turn on or turn off. And because when we went in on this stuff, we didn't, like, buy one, test it out, see how we like it. We were like, every outlet in the house, every lamp, we need to buy a clapper for.
I guess you're living in some kind of future. Okay.
I know, right? We were ready. We were ready for this. And yeah, clapper didn't work. It was so disappointing. And we were just wandering around from room to room clapping, waiting for something to happen. And no.
Alexa, clap disappointedly.
Yeah, exactly. And we would be like, oh, it's because we're not clapping right. Right. So we would clap harder, clap louder, clap closer to the clapper, clap in a specific relation to the clapper, and nah, it didn't work.
Okay, so our tip here for saving money is don't get the clapper.
Yeah, don't get the clapper. It didn't work. Yeah.
Okay.
The other thing that my mom unironically bought was a shake weight. So you remember shake weights?
Oh, yeah. The thing that you could only use in that one motion that high school boys love, that motion.
But
yeah,
it was supposed to build up your muscles. And my mom, I mean, she brought the breath-a-size, right? So anything that was supposed to help you work out and was as seen on TV, my mom was like, yes, we're getting
like,
this.
After you buy one thing that says as seen on TV, don't you just kind of realize that means doesn't work? Is that not a thing?
I mean, where it clicked for me when I was a kid is I was watching one of the infomercials, and it was called Laura Sutton's Makeup Disc. And it was showing
makeup
people.
Disc.
Makeup
okay,
disc,
sure.
Right? And it was showing people before and after of Laura Sutton's makeup disc. And I finally realized it's just them before and after wearing makeup.
Okay, yeah.
Her makeup disc, a compact disc that most powder makeup comes in, didn't matter for anything. It was just, yeah. So that's when I was like, oh, all this stuff is actually garbage, and they're lying to me because it doesn't. It's just.
And so much of it is getting over that fear of missing out, right? if you actually do have a problem with your makeup, or like, I don't know what this disc claimed to fix, but if it claimed to like put all the things you need in one place or something like that, right? And if you have a problem carrying around multiple things or whatever problem, right? Like the shake weight, if you have trouble going to the gym to exercise and it gives you this thing that you think can solve your problem, no matter how many times you're told this won't solve your problem, you still feel like you're missing out because there's this hypothetical solution you haven't tried yet. It feels terrible to feel like you're missing out, even if it's garbage, because you don't know it's garbage yet.
Well, I feel like if it's an infomercial.
Oh, yeah.
That's one clue.
Yeah, you buy three of them, you should be done for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Unless like you have some weird garbage buying hobby. I don't know.
My first job was an inbound telemarketing center where we would take phone calls for this stuff because you had to be 16 to work there. And I didn't have like an official, like I did papers and phone books and odd jobs, babysitting and stuff like that. But my first real job was an inbound telemarketing. And inbound telemarketing, unlike outbound telemarketing where they call and they try to scam you into stuff you don't need, inbound telemarketing is the people who, when you call those as seen on TV infomercials, I was the person who picked up the phone. And then the telemarketing part of it is that we were told to upsell people. So if you called and you wanted just one clapper, it was my job to tell you, why not, like my mother, a clapper for every light source in your house.
So you
for
lived
three easy payments of blah blah blah, you could clapify everything.
So you lived the crappy clapper life. And you then had to upsell the crappy clappers and just entrapify everyone else's life.
And the thing is that at this job, they wanted you to believe in their products. So the As Seen on TV infomercial people would come and do demos for all of us so that we knew and believed in their products. So I remember one of the things that they brought in to demo, this electric ab exerciser.
A TENS unit. But before they called them TENS units. Yeah, okay, yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
I don't know what a TENS unit is, but this thing had like four little sticky pads that you put on your stomach, and then you would press a button, and it would shock and move your muscle.
Yep,
and
that's a TENS unit.
That is exercise. They would bring that in, and all of us in the telemarketing floor would shock our abs and be like, wow, I do feel like something is happening. And then we would proceed to upsell people who were calling us and being like, well, if you have one for you, you need one for your partner and for your kids so that you all can be healthy working
out
together.
Get your dog in shape. Get one for your dog. Yeah, that sounds like the non-medical version of a TENS unit. The paperwork says they can usually relieve pain, but there's no good evidence they actually exercise anything, which is how so many of them get sold. And it's just, it doesn't do this. It doesn't do this. Ugh.
All right, well, are you ready for some famous products, Squeaky, and to hear whether they work or not?
Yeah, please tell me something works. Please tell me something works. I want to be done with the scams.
No guarantee, Squeaky. The first thing we're talking about is the ShamWow. Remember ShamWow?
It's a rags.
Okay, the catchphrase with the ShamWow was, you'll be saying, wow, every time. I actually never saw this one, but my mom bought it. Consumer Reports tested ShamWow and found it effective, but no better than regular microfiber towels.
Yeah, but you can sell more of anything with a multi-million dollar ad campaign.
Well, it became a meme and was referenced across TV and late night comedy, so ShamWow. Ready for the next one?
Sure, hit me.
The Snuggie. Remember Snuggies?
Snuggies are great. It was marketed as a blanket with sleeves.
The blanket... That's what I'm about to say, blanket with sleeves.
Is that what it's marketed as?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just wear a blanket with
sleeves. And the infomercial for this showed families wearing them while watching TV, reading,
so
using
ridiculous
laptops. The 30 million of these things were sold in their first few years.
So my thought on the Snuggie is, when they're new, they're an overpriced blanket. But
Squeaky. They're just a robe that you wear backwards.
Well, if you just, we tried putting a robe on backwards. The collar's too high. You gotta, and it has a hood. Right? But we got like a bunch of these discount. We got them for like $8 a pop. We bought like five of them.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like a really good deal, right? And we were warm that whole Christmas season, me and the extended family. We were all just staying warm.
Okay. Well, it became a pop culture phenomenon and even inspired Snuggie pub crawls. Did you ever go on a pub crawl in your Snuggie?
No. The kind of thing you just stay in and watch the snowfall or whatever. But okay.
All right.
I don't know. As far as scams go, it's a blanket. How do you screw up a blanket? Hit me with the next scam.
The George Foreman grill. My mom had this.
At least
this
it was made endorsed food, by right?
George Foreman. It was marketed as a lean, mean, fat reducing grilling machine.
So
it
dumb.
It drained the grease to make food healthier.
I mean, God, the grease is where all the flavor is.
You want to go to Flavor Town? You got to catch that grease tray at the bottom of your George Foreman. No,
not like that. It should stay in appropriate quantities in the food.
Okay.
But like,
okay.
I'm sure it does remove some amount of calories, but it's just an indoor grill. It was just a low quality, inexpensive grill. Okay, yeah.
Consumer Reports says that the George Foreman grill generally lived up to what it said it would do, and it was ranked as one of the most useful infomercial products ever.
That's like the fanciest ketchup, right? Like, I'm sure there is a ketchup that is the fanciest, but it's sugar, tomatoes, and water. It's like, come on. Come on.
George Foreman earned more money from this grill than his boxing career. He got $200 million or more from selling these
things. He was selling food-making equipment to Americans. Of course he did.
All right, so this one I have.
Okay.
It is OxyClean.
No, it's conditional. It doesn't work like on the commercials, but yeah, there's some things it works on.
Yep, this was promoted by Billy Mays. Remove stains instantly with oxygen power. People do like it. It does work, it seems, for laundry and household cleaning, and Good Housekeeping found that OxyClean outperforms a lot of other stain removers.
Yeah, it just, bleach doesn't clean every kind of stain. Vinegar doesn't clean every kind of stain. Tide doesn't clean every kind of stain. OxyClean doesn't clean every kind of stain, but you mix it up and you use the right thing on the right thing, and yeah, it's part of a toolkit. Just don't...
Yep.
But the freaking infomercials say it fixes everything. It'll clean up all these impossible things. And it's like, yeah. That's a lie.
All right, you ready for the last famous as seen on TV?
Sure, hit me with it.
I don't think my mom got this one, and I didn't get this one either, but the Slap Chop.
Is that the little thing with the spring and the razors?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why would you? I never even saw the appeal. I know they've made newer versions, the Bullet Micro Blender or whatever, but like... A knife. I have a knife and I have a full-size blender. Why do I need this thing?
Well, because if you have the Slap Chop, you can say this catchphrase, you're going to love my nuts.
I can say that anyway. I say that all the time anyway.
The Slap Chop would be chopping your nuts for you, Squeaky. Hey, listener, you'll love it.
Listener, if you haven't heard that like four other times this episode, it's because Shauna cut it.
Probably. I probably
right?
Did. Yeah.
Okay.
Slap Chop works reasonably well for soft food, but struggles with harder vegetables.
Eggplant emoji.
And Wire Cutter found it less effective than a regular knife for serious cooking, as you said, Squeaky.
Because, like, you know, back when we had Bed Bath & Beyond, you could walk into a physical store and hold these objects, right? I didn't see a Slap Chop, but the other things like this. They had blades that retracted into a thing. When the blades cut through food, you get stuff on the blades, and it retracts back into a thing.
How do you
now
clean
have
that?
Food juices inside a thing.
Yeah.
How do you get this safe? How do you get this clean again for later? And they always say, like, not dishwasher safe on there. You have to disassemble, like, 15 parts, and you have, like, loose razors in your dishwasher. Like, what is this?
Ugh. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a scam so much as just... Not a good idea. I guess that's maybe a scam. Is just no. I guess
if you have as seen on TV products you want to tell us about, reach out to penniespod@gmail.com or give us a call at 970-425-3060. Leave us a message. Tell us you'd like it to be on air, and we will share your as seen on TV stuff on air so that we can learn how to save money together. Hey there, Penny Thinkers. I'm excited to announce that A Thought for Your Pennies is part of the Creator Accountability Network. CAN is a nonprofit dedicated to reducing harassment and abuse through ethical education and a system of restorative accountability. I joined, and so did Squeaky, because we care about the safety and well-being of our community members. If you feel that our behavior or content has harmed someone, please report it to CAN, either via the reporting form on their website, creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org, or via their hotline at 617-249-4255. They'll help us make it right and avoid repeating that mistake in the future. CAN also needs volunteers from our communities to help with their work, so if you have skills that you think would be helpful, or time and a desire to help, please visit their website to find out how you can volunteer. Most importantly, get the word out to other creators who you think would be interested in getting credentialed. Help us build safer communities together. Hey everybody, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I'm Squeaky, and I'm not ready for this because of my ADHD diagnosis, so hopefully Shauna can wing it.
Thanks, Squeaky. I'll be glad to take this one on myself. So this episode, we are talking about savings and scams related to ADHD, which is adult attention hyperdeficit disorder.
Attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder. Or oh, okay. Plenty of people just have ADD, attention deficit disorder. And I think they're moving away from the disorder phrasing, but I'm not up to date on that. They just give me pills. Hang on.
Nice.
So anytime I want to interrupt you, can I just...
No. So listen, in recent years, there's been an increase in the number of people diagnosed with this. According to Arts and Sciences at Syracuse University, there's better awareness and recognition. There's better understanding of how ADHD, especially in how it manifests in girls who in the past were underdiagnosed. Another thing that is a little bit better is that more people are seeking support for mental health issues, which leads to more diagnosis. Probably because of the stress of the pandemic.
That makes a whole lot of sense, and I hadn't thought about that. You had me thinking about diagnoses improving, and I'm just thinking like, hey, like 100 years ago, we had like real amounts of subsistence farmers in this country. Like, if you have ADD, it's you're not going to get a good diagnosis in that kind of culture.
And I think we're doing what we can with the knowledge we have at each time period we go through, right? Like,
makes sense.
You're a subsistence farmer, you're out there trying to attend to your fields every day, and now society requires most of your childhood to be sitting at a desk and taking in information.
Imagine being that one person who wants to hyper-focus on wheat crop yield, and you have that kind of hyper-fixation because of your ADD or ADHD, and you are that far. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
And here I have to sit at a desk. Okay.
When you could be thinking about wheat.
Wheat dreams forever.
Well, listen, don't listen to Squeaky and I. About ADHD and what it's like, because it can really only be properly diagnosed and treated by a mental health professional or physician. That's according to the CDC. But it's hard to get an official diagnosis because therapists and psychiatrists are hard to find. And even when you have a doctor, there's been a nationwide shortage of Adderall and other ADHD medications, according to NBC News. Given these obstacles, the idea of solving these executive function challenges with an app or a supplement is tempting. And there's a lot of businesses that have sprung up offering solutions that can be questionable. Supplements?
No.
Apps to organize? Apps that claim to retrain your habits using cognitive behavioral therapy techniques? And apps that play music that supposedly helps you focus?
Some of these feel pretty scammy. But like, if it's an app to try to help you keep organized, I've heard that works for some people.
Yeah, I think there's different ways that this can present in different people. We're going to get into savings because ADHD is a condition that really requires medical care, and the cost depends on your insurance coverage. It's hard to talk about savings in a traditional sense.
Sorry, I'm just getting super angry because as soon as you bring up health insurance, it gets real rough for lots of people. I know you're looking right at me and you just see me clenching my fists and I'm ready to punch a... You know, you're going to have to cut this bit. There's no way for me to finish that sentence without there being, like, charges.
And the other part about ADHD is that it can be expensive because the organizational and executive function challenges of forgetting things, analysis paralysis, procrastination faced by people with ADHD make it easier to make mistakes and get caught in traps that waste money.
This is
sometimes referred to as the ADHD tax.
So many of these things are directed at neurotypical people, and they work statistically. These companies will give you a free trial and then hit you with one bill, and then like 90% of people will cancel the free trial but won't cancel the bill. People with these executive function issues or with attention issues or who put it on their to-do list and then forget and haven't yet been diagnosed, they're just more likely to be in that 10%. And yeah, Yeah.
Yeah. So what you're talking about is a subscription trap.
Oh, sure.
Subscriptions that require you to make a call or come in person. It's easy to be like, oh, I'll do that next week. Gym memberships, we've talked about that already, is a big one that require you to cancel in person. And then when you're there, they're like, oh, but you need this. You'll get back on this, right? You know, that's an example from Attitude Mag about what is called an ADHD tax. Other examples are it's too easy to buy things impulsively, just plain forgetting subscriptions that you're not using anymore.
Absolutely.
Late fees and interest for bills that are paid late. Penalties for taxes that are filed late, and things like missed payments can damage credit, which then leads to costs like higher interest rates on loans.
Oh, yeah. And we've talked a ton about a bunch of ways to fix this, because anybody can be late on a payment. Anybody can make any of these categories of errors with finances. So everybody should be automating as much as they can. And that usually means going up to your bank account and setting up auto payments. It usually means not signing up for subscriptions, all these basic good things. And it's it's beating a dead horse to say it again, but for people who think they might be susceptible to these executive function issues, they just have to even harder.
Yeah, you have to figure out where you can kind of lease out your executive brain functions for some of these things. Ways to minimize the ADHD tax is deleting apps that make it too easy to make impulsive purchases. So for me, this was when I first downloaded Poshmark, which is an app where people sell supposedly like luxury goods. And it was very easy for me to buy things on it all the time. So I made a limit that app was only available to me one day a week.
That's really cool. And there are apps that will let you, or that will block apps on a timer. So if you wanted to do that, you could set it up so that way you could only access Poshmark on Saturday or something.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I did until I could figure out how I didn't need this stuff that was coming on there. And then I started trolling Craigslist for free stuff, which kind of gave me the high of like, oh, I got a new thing. And then until that wore off.
Okay, it's frugal. Okay, since we're a podcast about money, I have to say that's a great thing to do. But basic human sensibilities, that is not a great thing to do. Going around getting free stuff off Craigslist, that's like picking up all the things that are too expensive to throw away and taking them for yourself. It's like, what are you doing? You're talking about impulse buys in games. So any of those games that have microtransactions, extra skins, cool spaceships or whatever, skip all that if you can. Figure out what you've got to do. Set a budget. You know,
do you remember
something
when Animal Crossing was like a big deal? During the pandemic,
doesn't have microtransactions, does it?
Well, it does, yeah, because the thing about Animal Crossing is that you come into this little world where you have to work to pay off your house.
Yeah, Tom Nook gives you a loan, but it's a zero interest loan, so it's a loan you should take every time. Tom Nook is a capitalist socialist here. He's such a weirdo.
And then after you get your house, you can work to get a bigger house, but you can pay real money to get your house faster when you buy bells. So it's like, I just don't understand the point of games that are exactly like, I'm trying to play a game to escape life. Like, I'm already working to pay off my house. So why do I want to play a game where there's just like an animal mask over everything of like, oh, my banker is now this raccoon person.
Okay. So headcanon. I think the reason Animal Crossing is fun is because it's so implausible that you just know when you play it, you are the last human and in a zoo. Tom Nook exists not because this perfect animal utopia believes in capitalism, but because he knows that capitalism is enrichment for the last living human. So he's there doing his best as a zookeeper to keep you alive and happy.
That's a great analysis of Animal Crossing. Thanks, Squeaky. So other ways that you can minimize the ADHD tax is some online stores will offer to keep your credit card on file to make future purchases easier. Don't do that. Don't save your credit card information because the extra time that it takes you to find your card and type in the information is an opportunity to be like, do I really need this right now? Can I think about it for a little bit? Ask yourself whether purchase is a good idea or if you're going to regret it later.
Yep. And I just want to qualify that if you're a person with impulse control issues, don't save them. Because for plenty of people, they can. Like, I wouldn't at a ton of places.
Squeaky, was saying before, just set up everything on auto pay, auto savings, so that you can just fix it and forget it when it comes to budgeting overall.
One thing that we wanted to discuss briefly as an option was the one-time use cards. And just like, consider it, right? I'm not saying definitely use them, but different credit card companies will offer this. Like, I know Amex and Discover offer it. I don't know if Visa does. But they're these credit card numbers that you can use just one time. So if you definitely want to cancel a service after you're getting it, and you just want to try it, or you need to sign up for the free trial, get one of these from your credit card company, buy the thing, sign up for the thing, and then you won't be able to do the microtransactions without pulling out a real credit card. And then you'll hit exactly the mental roadblock that you're talking about, where if it's something you need, you can go get the credit card, but if it's an impulse buy, it gives you another moment to rethink it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you talking about this and linking to Investopedia about the concept of single-use credit cards.
Yeah, yeah, I love Investopedia as a source, and then thank you for bringing that up. They're great for any of those weird money questions, like what does this term mean?
And getting back to subscriptions, think about ones that auto-renew. If you subscribe to a service that you may want to renew the following year, make sure that your account default setting isn't set to auto-renew. If you don't have an option to turn off auto-renew, set a calendar reminder or a couple sometime before the renewal date so that you can consciously decide whether you want to stay subscribed or cancel.
It's all about making your decisions as effectively as possible, right? Whatever it takes to do that.
Another thing is you get decision fatigue about, oh my gosh, and then you just don't do the stuff.
Absolutely. I've forgotten more than a few things. So finding some way to make my desired goal happen automatically is so important. I personally like the gym I'm at, and I want it to not fail on me, so I put that on my real credit card. But if I was trying my gym out for the first time, I would do a one-time card or something, because I'm not sure if I'm going to be there next month.
Well, another thing you can do about subscriptions is skip free trials that automatically bill you when the trial ends.
Well, but what if I need 15 CDs for a penny?
Are you getting back to the As Seen on TV scams?
isn't that like our whole childhood? How many of those flyers did you see for get a million CDs for nothing, and it was all BS?
I mean, out of all the infomercials, I love those ones the most because they would play like 2 to 3 second clips of the song and be like, don't you want this Calypso music? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm not buying it, but yeah, that would be cool if I had that CD set. If you do notice that you've been charged recently and that you meant to cancel, it's worth at least writing customer support to see if they'll reverse the charge and end your subscription. If you do this quickly, once you see the charge, not all, but some businesses will reverse the charge. And so one time I signed up for a massage service that gave me a free massage every month if I paid this subscription. So it wasn't really free. It was a subscription. And then I canceled it, but I didn't call the service and canceled it. I just changed my credit card number because every once in a while, I would just periodically change my credit card numbers to kind of delist subscriptions. Okay. And then those subscription services will email me and they'll be like, we had trouble making this payment. And then I'll decide then like, oh yeah, do I still want this thing or not? So I just do that periodically every few months. And the massage place though, they were just like, sounds cool. We'll just bill your husband's credit card instead because he came in one time because I couldn't make the massage. So he came in one time instead and he left them a tip and they saved that. And they were billing him. And then he was like, why am I paying for your massages? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, they are charging my credit card. And then I was like, oh my gosh. So I called them to be like, hey, you know, when you weren't able to make payment, that's because I was done with you. And they're like, oh, well, you can't just cancel your credit card. And I was like, but you didn't have authorization to charge my husband's card instead. Like, he came in and left you a tip. You'd have no right to do that.
Yep.
So, and they were like, well, you have to come in person to cancel this. So I went down there in person and it just seemed like, I mean, they could have been playing, you know, good cop, bad cop, where the bad cop is like, oh, you know, this national company that we're a part of, it's their accounting system. We can't do anything about it. But they were very nice in person and comped me some massages because they were like, we're sorry that you went through this. Obviously, you should have been able to cancel. Yeah.
Yeah. I suspect that if you sign a contract, that just changing your credit card or using a one-time card doesn't get you out of some legal obligation. That said, most places won't do things like bill you each month and keep a running tally, knowing that they won't ever recoup that money. So as a practical matter, what you're talking about usually doesn't happen. But if you suspect you're going to keep using it, it's the exact kind of thing you want to update when you're using it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't like getting in massages after I canceled my card. Like, I changed the card number and then I didn't come in for any more massages.
Oh, and they kept billing. Then they just started billing your husband's card. Yeah, right. That's super illegal. That they're just not.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that have made it easier is that the FTC announced recently this click-to-cancel rule, where that it has to be as easy to end a service as it was to sign up for it. So if you sign up online, you need to be able to unsubscribe online, and businesses have to comply with this rule by May 14th of 2025.
I hope that's true.
Yeah. I mean, the new FTC appointee, Andrew Ferguson, is against this click-to-cancel, but even if you don't have executive function challenges, click to cancel is helpful to everybody because everybody is busy and tired and gets distracted. So rules like click to cancel are really helpful.
It's basic consumer protections.
Yeah. So those are all the ways we thought of on how to save money if you've got ADHD. Make sure you do get a professional diagnosis. But if there's other ways to save money that we didn't cover here, we would love to hear it. Email us at penniespod@gmail.com or give us a call, leave us a voicemail, a short one that we could use on the episode, at 970-425-3060.
We're doing call-ins. I'm so excited.
Hey there, Penny Thinkers. This is the ad part of our show that you want to skip over, but I don't want you to skip it because I want you to help out people who have survived the LA fires. And we have this link for you, linkcuts.org/LA fires. If you go there, there's a Google spreadsheet that has a ton of different organizations to help out the victims of the LA fire. Would love if you could show your support for our show by supporting the survivors.
I don't know what you said, Shauna, but I wholeheartedly agree that we should help people in the LA fires. So yeah, was that linkcuts.org/LA fires, all lowercase?
Yeah, that is the link, linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Well, I support you think I am fires prevent money donate.
Did I just word salad?
If you didn't, I got lost.
Oh, man. The important thing is linkcuts.org/LA fires. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hi, I'm Squeaky. And today, I took a walk to a pond where I could just scream at the geese for half an hour in preparation for this segment.
That's right. It's Squeaky's favorite heart racing segment, which is scams. And today we're going to go over the scams that target people with ADHD.
Yep. Let's just pick on people who have problems. No, nothing wrong with that.
And this one is particularly nefarious that we're starting off, which is a lawsuit against a supplement, Effelex.
Okay,
these were nutritional supplements that claim to help with ADHD, but don't.
Oh, God. Why? That's all I've got. I don't have words. Too angry. Sorry, if it's a supplement, it's not medicine, because people who have medicine go through the FDA approval process and then sell it for lots of money to your insurance company, but when they don't have something that works, it's a supplement, so they're ripping you off. Sorry, incoherent rage. Sorry.
Well, according to the FTC, there was these two companies, Ephemeral Nutraceuticals and J&R Research, Inc. They were marketing and selling dietary supplements that claim to mitigate or cure the effects of attention deficit disorder or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And they agreed to settle with the Federal Trade Commission charges that the claims for their products were unsubstantiated.
Of course they're unsubstantiated. ADD and ADHD are the structure of your brain. You don't cure that. That's the thing you live with. If something's claiming to cure your ADHD, it's a lie. Because if somebody had a cure for your brain structure, they'd be selling that for millions of dollars.
Yep. So in separate agreements, each company is prohibited from making certain efficacy claims about their products unless they have the scientific evidence to support those claims. So that is one scam, supplements. You Fun. Need prescriptions from a doctor or other behavioral therapies from a licensed practitioner, not supplements.
Yep. Same with every other issue, every other health issue.
Another area of scams for ADHD diagnosed folks is apps. You'll see a lot of advertisements apps. For these applications on social media because social media sites track where you Google if you're trying to learn more about ADHD. So your social feeds will reflect this. Here are some red flags to look for with these apps. Ready?
Because okay. some are real, but you're going to tell us a bunch of fake ones, right?
Right. These okay. are the ones that you don't want to use. So ones that have a self-diagnostic quiz to tell you if you have ADHD. ADHD yep. requires yes. proper diagnosis by a health professional.
Yep.
They make overblown claims. Some apps can help with some organizational issues, but apps that claim to cure or eliminate ADHD are not honest.
Yep, we're just going to lie to people with problems. That's our society now.
Well, that's okay. scammer society.
Sure. Okay.
Apps that perform functions that you can already do for free on your phone, like calendar reminders, to-do list, but charge you for these features, usually on a subscription basis.
Oh, that's extra gross because we're just like, hey, this is an issue that makes it harder to cancel things. So subscribe. Great.
yeah,
great.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
Read the App Store reviews. See if there's a bunch of angry customers going, you didn't do what you're supposed to do, or it's broke or never updated. Things like that before downloading and especially purchasing these apps.
yeah.
And another place that you can look for reviews are on Trustpilot.com. So even if seems the rating like in aggregate seems to be okay, be sure to read the negative reviews because unfortunately it's easy for companies to create fake 5-star reviews for themselves. So it's important to look at the actual content of the reviews.
These are red flags for so many scams. So many mm-hmm. scams will make overblown claims. So many scams will make claims that are at the edge of what's possible in just one past. Right, because it's like science is advancing all the time. So here's one thing we just learned. Buy our cool new thing. And looking at reviews, all these things you're saying, they're good red flags to look out for. They are good defensive steps to make on almost any purchase. This is just good advice.
And I will read the negative reviews with some discernment, right? If people are looking for the ultimate to-do app, and that's not exactly what I want to download the app to do. I want it to do something else. That won't exactly turn me off and being like, oh, I don't need this app. So you kind of have to read the reviews of like, oh, other people are saying, yes, this worked for me in the exact way I need this thing to work for me that I already know what I'm trying to, you know, compensate with. So that's another Makes reason sense. To read reviews, not just look at the overall star level and be like, okay, this is good or this is bad. Try to be discerning about, well, what do you actually need?
I like reading the 1-star reviews and seeing if they all have the same problem, because that tells me it's real, not just these apps, right? Like, I'll buy cheap bolts and get them shipped from China to assemble something at home, and if everyone says the bolts shear, okay, that sucks. I shouldn't buy those bolts. But if it's a scattershot where it's like, I don't like them, they're the wrong color, they're not what was promised, they're 1 inch too big, or what, if they're all different problems, then chances are, right, they're just low quality, whereas if there's one problem and it's a problem I can live with, I'm fine. If it's a problem I can't live with, I shouldn't get it.
Yeah, right? Like, that's an interesting observation, too. Yeah. Another app thing to think about, proceed with caution, are AI-based apps.
That is the magic buzzword today, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. According to AP News, many help with breaking down to-dos into smaller tasks, but it's not a replacement for working on your organizational skills or taking medication. And it's important to consider privacy issues, and chatbot responses can have inaccuracies or cultural biases.
It's not for everyone, but I'm a huge fan of imposed limits when I'm in a right mindset. Right? If I know that I want to limit my screen time, if I were in that headspace, right? An app that like tracked it and said, hey, you're at 2 hours, you're done for the day, or something like that would be great. Right? And that's not for everyone, but make that call and make those decisions when you're in a good headspace. It'll make the decisions easier for when you're in a bad headspace.
Yeah. I find the most motivating way to get started to my day is to not get on my phone until I've done my morning routine. because if I get on my phone first thing in the morning when I'm kind of like in that hazy, I'm not quite awake yet, I just want to lay in bed and do nothing for a little bit, but I'll go on my phone and scroll on Instagram, 45 minutes will blow by and all of a sudden I have to start rushing around. But if I just get up and I tell myself I'll get my phone after I have, you know, brushed my teeth, gotten dressed, eaten breakfast, worked out, done all the things, like I am very motivated to get through my routine to then get on my phone.
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite. If I don't sort my freshly downloaded podcast, I'm not waking up. I will just hit snooze and then I'll sleep for 45 minutes and then I'll wake up, see a 5 podcast episodes, sort the order I want to listen to them, and then I'm awake. So I'm like, ah, I get to listen to the new whoever. Ah, yeah, it's going to be great.
Well, on the apps, there are some helpful tools that have free versions. Rescue Time tracks how much you're using time in your computer and sends you a summary so you can see if you're spending more time than you thought surfing the web or playing video games. And there's also project management apps and websites that have free versions that are useful. Monday.com, freetocamp.com, ClickUp, Asana. They all have paid versions with additional features, but you might not need those to organize your life.
You're telling me that there are apps that there's free versions of that I can quantify my infinite amount of doom scrolling.
If that is something you need information, I would love to see what you need that for.
I mean, hopefully to do less than infinite. I mean, that's a lot of doom scrolling.
Yeah, I saw a meme today that was like, remember MySpace, the only wholesome social media site because it didn't have algorithms? You couldn't really doom scroll on MySpace. You could go to your friends' pages and you could start flame wars, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, wholesome's pushing it, but by comparison, sure.
Yeah. Another area of apps are sound-related apps. So there's numerous studies supporting the benefits of music for ADHD. The question is, do you need to pay for an app to do this? Or can you find music on your own that'll help you focus? Mm. You can make your own playlist or music or background noise that works for you. And there's tons of playlists already on, you know, major music services like Apple and Spotify with titles like ADHD Focus Music or My ADHD Study Playlist that doesn't cost you anything other than whatever you're already paying to subscribe to it.
Yeah, music is great, and free and community-made playlists sound like a great idea.
Yeah, that's our list of scams and ways to avoid them when we've got ADHD or you're dealing with ADHD. If you have better ideas or other scams that we missed, we would love to hear from you. Email us at penniespod@gmail.com or give us a call at 970-425-3060.
Thank you for ending on something that lowers my blood pressure. But if a listener wants to hear me have a heart attack on air, send Shauna your best material.